big long trailer.
Yeah, this one's.
Oh, okay. So maybe they just moved it. Because when we were out there on yesterday, I didn't see it out there.
I think it went up today. And then he's got the signs lit up with extension cords.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, there's a.
Excellent.
My other instructions were to turn on your mic. They left me all these instructions.
So, David, take note of the microphones that are sitting here now.
Yeah, we checked them out.
Yeah, they will work.
Our IT chairman, committee chairman over there.
Subcommittee.
Subcommittee.
They didn't give me power to really do anything except for all this stuff, which I already had at the beginning.
Could have been.
So I think they fixed it.
Aaron's not coming?
I don't know.
I can push that forward. You can push that forward.
I don't know.
Names are not in it.
Yeah, we probably don't need the mics for this, but that's fine. Okay, it's Aaron Kohlmeyer.
He was, remember last time he was like a minute too late.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. Well, at 6:30, I'm going to call this meeting to order. We have Extension Education first. Do we need to introduce ourselves?
Well,
we have name tags, and we have all these name tags. I want to welcome Trina. Did Heather call in?
She didn't.
Okay. And Aaron Kohlmeyer is not present at the time. Otherwise, all of our other members are here. Hold on. I know we have an agenda for this one, too.
Do we have an agenda?
Yeah.
It's on top of the regular state.
Certification of compliance, Teddy?
We are in compliance.
Okay. Educator program updates? Who's going first tonight? Barb?
Okay. So I'm Amy Martinez. I'm the administrator of the Racine Council for Christian Education Program. And I just passed out a brief flyer on where we're doing our summer program this year. So that's kind of our big update right now. Schools are out as and then we start working with some of the schools are already in during the school year. We started this summer for anything like that. So we did the Brass School, the Boys and Girls Club at Peninsula and Jefferson, and then we're also out of the Sharing Center doing these classes and at the Urban Outreach Center too in Kenosha. And that's in addition to the program that we already continue to do year round at the Shalom Center and the Spanish Center and other sites in Kenosha. So our kind of big focus is summer is going to be encouraging children to try new foods. When we're in the school day, the school setting, there's so much going on. We have about 30 minutes. It's pretty hard to do food demos and food samples with the kids. So in the summer, if they have a lot more time, usually an hour and a half, so we have more of an opportunity to help them try new foods and experience new things and do so in a fun way to help them hopefully then be more willing to try new foods and healthy foods at home. So that's kind of our big focus this summer. We're going to start out with decreasing sugar sweetened beverages, which is heard all the time in the schools about how the kids need to cut back on sodas and, you know, juices not being always the healthiest alternative as well. And then we're going to talk about eating a variety of colors, from eating fruits from the rainbow is kind of what we talk about it with children. Then they're going to do some vegetable sampling, which we hope that month will be maybe for some of the fresh produce we have from farmers markets in the local gardens. And then increasing whole grains, which is something we know that most of the children are planting. So that's what we're kind of what we have going for a summer program. We're also doing some specialized programming for preschoolers and for kindergartners too. That's a little bit similar than what we're talking about here today. And then our other big news is that we've hired three new nutrition educators. Two of whom are starting on Monday, and then the third person is starting on August 1st. And she's prior work. So that's kind of our big.
Actually, the fruit program in the schools, I find that very interesting because about 3 years ago, Salem did that with their grade school. And it was, I think it was through a federal grant that they got to bring the fruits. It was fruits and vegetables into the school. And the kids absolutely loved that. My kids had kiwi for the first time, even though I kept trying to buy it. And, you know, they'd sit in the refrigerator and then they'd go icky and then I'd have to throw them out. but it worked really well at the school.
Yeah.
It did.
And a couple of these schools, Brass has applied for the Fresh Fruit and Vegetable Grant. I don't know if they've received it. I don't know if they've gotten notice yet that they've received it. money left over for their fruit and vegetable grant. So they're hoping that they can buy some more of the fruits and vegetables. They're thinking, we're going there on Tuesdays, we're thinking of calling it Tasty Tuesdays, and doing some fruit and vegetable sampling. And if, you know, the nice thing about summer program is a little bit smaller scale, so with our budget, we can buy some of the foods for the sampling and the food demonstrations, so we don't have to rely on our sites for the summer program to do that. During the school year, we're talking about, you know, mm-hmm. 8 different schools, plus middle schools and high schools. It's just too large of a volume for us for our budget to purchase food. But for the summer programming, a little bit smaller, we can do that with our budget too. So schools can't or don't have the money for it, which we know that's the case with a lot of our schools right now, that we can actually provide that for the summer programming.
Yeah. And then I had a question about, you mentioned the rainbow foods. What happens, because that whole thing just came out that they're eliminating that now? After first they get rid of the food pyramid, now they're eliminated the rainbow foods. How does that affect you guys?
We deal with talking about eating a rainbow is we have a rainbow, and we have kids take fruit vegetable cards, and they place them in, you know, the different categories of the rainbow. So what we're more encouraging is eating a variety of fruits and vegetables, which is still consistent with the new dietary guidelines and the new choosemyplate.org, which is the new MyPyramid.
That's what it was.
They are saying right now, at least, that we can use the MyPyramid nutrition education in some settings. It may still be appropriate. So since it's also new, it came out last week, we're still waiting for the guidance on how we integrate the MyPyramid with the new MyPlate. But that'll be another exciting change for us this summer, is getting, you know, the new educational materials and things like that from the USDA. So we're a little bit more, I don't want to say generic, but the way that we talk about this is a little bit more broad scale, especially for children, you know. And so when we get into the school year, then we'll have better guidance to know what we're doing with my plate, how we talk about that with children. The other piece is that the graphic that's been released is actually the adult version, not the child version.
Oh, okay.
So that is yet to come. So we'll see what that means for the schools for next school year.
Okay. So. Supervisor Holman.
Actually, I'll be supervisor on your.
Oh, go ahead. Where do you get the kids from?
So this year, the Kenosha Unified School District, they're running their own summer school, kind of after school programming. So that's why we're working with Brass, Jefferson, and Epsala. So they will have children from their summer school programs, from their neighborhoods. They'll be coming to summer school in the morning, and then the afternoon is sort of an enrichment type, you know, after school program, except that it's from 12:30 to.
Is it a mandatory thing?
It's not mandatory. It's a sign up. You know, but a lot of the children that go to summer school in the morning do sign up for the afternoon programming. And Boys and Girls Club is going to be their new facility this year, so they'll be working there for the first time starting in July. And they're bringing children to the community. They're also having a bus from where their original site is. They're bringing children in by bus from that neighborhood so they can still come to the new site. And then I don't know how we're just from the neighborhood to the neighborhood. So, yeah, usually we go where children are already going, and that, and then we have a nice, you know, kind of area there.
Okay, thank you.
Supervisor Holman.
He took both of my questions.
Oh, okay.
Can you just drop by and see what you're doing? Is that?
Absolutely, yes. I have my contact information here. We have most of the dates, but not all of the dates yet for the program. When you're interested in giving us a call, give me a call and I'll let you know where we're going to be at most.
Actually, better yet, when she gets it finalized, I'll send you all an email and I'll give you the dates and the times so that you know if it's Tuesday and it's 10 o'clock. Gee, I wonder where they are today. I might like to pop in. You'll know which site that they'd be at.
These are all close by me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We would absolutely love to have you all visit and participate. That would excite the kids, too, to think that other adults are interested in what they're doing. We can do that. We will send that.
If you should.
Will there be any study work done as to what happens in the home after this program in terms of assessing its effectiveness?
That's a really good question. We, for the summer program, we don't do much of that, but we are actually talking about incorporating it into our school year program. A lot of what happens in the summer sites is, you know, we hope that it's going to be the same children for each 4-week session. But it's not always. We're in the schools, we really tend to get the same children over and over again that we're working with. So actually this year, and in Kenosha County specifically, we're working with the schools to try and have some more contact with the PTA and ways we've done it in the past, it's just our response rates tend to be very low. Mm-hmm. We send parent surveys, so we're trying to do a little bit more proactively with the parents. We're also going to start incorporating some things in the school newsletters to let parents know, oh, we're going to be at your school, you know, for this 5-week session, and kind of talking in the newsletter about what we're doing. So we're going to try and incorporate the parents in a few different ways this school year. But yeah, that's ideal. Great question.
Thank you.
Do our youth have anything to add?
I was just going to say it's kind of an interesting thing to do this because I'm on rec for student government, and we actually entered this program called Let's Move. And we actually just, you kind of, it's like a contest kind of thing, and you enter your school. And they actually just, we won like a nutritionist to come in for our school next year to redo our whole lunch menu. So
that's fantastic.
Really?
Yeah. That's great.
That's
yeah.
Cool.
The First Lady's Initiative, the Let's Move.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Michelle
that's
Obama's, yeah. Yeah, so that's for next year.
Great. Trina, do you mind letting us know when that happens? I'm just thinking
yeah.
There might be some nutrition educators who might be interested if they could be the fly on the wall.
Yeah,
just to watch it. Yeah.
The nutritionist is there. I mean, it might be just really cool for us to have an opportunity.
For sure. I know that we just got the notification that we received from the nutritionist, and we're pretty sure that they're going to be coming in early next year. So I'll let you guys know when
it's
done with you.
Any other questions?
What school is she going
to? Go to Bradford, right?
Yeah.
Bradford. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you. That was very, very interesting.
I'm Barb Larson, and I'm the horticulture educator here at Kenosha UW Extension. And I was at my daughter's wedding last month. I thought I would take the opportunity to introduce myself a little bit more. So the horticulture program covers anything related to plants and gardening and bugs and plant diseases and natural resources and the environment. All of those kinds of things all get thrown into the horticulture program. So it's a very broad kind of program. But I basically divided into two big categories. One is commercial and the other is consumer or homeowner or community, that kind of thing. So commercially, I work with what's called the green industry. So that's things like landscapers, arborists, lawn care companies, anyone, actually garden centers, basically anybody that sells, takes care of plants and those kinds of things. And we do several things with them. We do have a formal, well, it's informal because it's not credit, but there's a 4-week course in the wintertime. We also do a regional update in the summertime. And then I'm also available for, as kind of a consultant to them. And in fact, just this week I had a lawn care service brought in a plant that they couldn't identify. So I identified and found out how they would manage it or control it. So that's kind of typical of what we do with the green industry. Then the other part I put into commercial is working with a lot of towns, the county, and also towns, villages, the other municipalities. So I've been active on the Katy Park Committee with the educational focus in that. We also have currently involved in Pleasant Prairie, acting as an educational resource to them because they're looking at starting some community gardens, just trying out some things. So I've worked with them on that, providing information and guidance on that. Also, for the town of Bristol, I've looked at some trees and some problems that they've had. So that's kind of in that commercial type of venue. For also the county last year, I did some possible landscape design or suggestions. I'm not a landscape designer. For the courthouse, so all sorts of different types of things that would fit with that. A lot of just problem solving with them too. The consumer part is probably the biggest part of what I do, and the biggest aid to that is the Master Gardener Volunteer Program. The volunteer program is a 2-county program, so it's both Kenosha County and Racine County. So I share the responsibilities in teaching and overseeing over 200 volunteers with my colleague in Racine County. And those 200 volunteers last year donated over 12,220 hours of volunteer service in Kenosha and Racine counties. And if you do kind of a rough, basic $15 volunteer, that was almost $200,000 worth of volunteer time, if you figure that out. So it's a great group of people, very enthusiastic. They do a lot of projects. They really are a big part of our outreach because they can get the education and that information out to the public, where Patty and I, my colleague at Racine, just can't be every place. So basically, they have an organization, and every year in the fall, they review projects and requests for projects. And it's a committee that decides what are going to be Master Garden projects, and they have criteria. And those criteria include that they have to be educational for the public. They have to be visible so that people know that they're going to volunteer. They want people to know that they're volunteering and things. It has to be for not-for-profit or public kinds of areas and spaces. And there has to be a Master Gardener who's willing to step forward to coordinate or be the main contact person for the project. So sometimes we'll get lots of great things that people would like Master Gardeners to take on, and it may meet all the criteria, but there's not a Master Gardener, enough Master Gardener interest in a project in order to have that as a project. But some of the examples of things the Master Gardeners do and are things like our helpline, and that's where these are. This is our Kenosha County helpline, where people can call Monday, Wednesday, or Friday mornings and talk with a Master Gardener volunteer that's specially trained to answer their home gardening, tree, lawn, vegetable, whatever kinds of questions. And then the other thing I gave you has that number on it, plus it also, we've got Master Gardener volunteers that are at Harbor Market the second and fourth Saturdays of every month, and they do the same thing, answer a lot of gardening questions, and then some of our online resources too. So a lot of that. And if the Master Gardeners can't answer it, then I follow up with it and answer those things. We also have demonstration gardens. And so they're to show different kinds of demonstrations, but one of them is right here. So if you notice those very lovely plants that currently aren't in bloom because we're kind of in between seasons, as you came in that raised bed, Master Gardeners worked with me on that, and also some of the plantings on the immediate north side of the building. So we're actually expanding and developing that. Many of those plants are free ones that I get as a garden writer, and because companies want to show off their plants and have garden writers trial different things and tell people about them. So the vast majority of the plants are ones that are through garden writers. And we killed some, and it just shows they don't work very well. good and bad. And you also might be interested, we have Master Gardener volunteers also that are doing therapeutic gardens, meaning making the space so that it's a positive space. We know space, plants make people feel good, they reduce pain. At Brookside Care Center, that's been a long time one. Also at Hospice, and then we also have Master Gardeners that have been working at Kemper for a very long period of time. We also have gardens at the fairgrounds and other things. We have a new garden at one of the schools, where the schools came to us and for their summer school program, they wanted a gardening program. I met with them, I provided curriculum for them, for one of the teachers, and now the Master Gardeners are starting a garden there, a demonstration garden for a vegetable garden for the community. So those are some of the kinds of things they do. In addition to providing the education for the Master Gardeners, I also oversee and support them. In fact, in a few minutes after this, I'm going to do an update for sick plants and everything for a group of Master Gardeners.
Let me interrupt. A bug came in the office today to be identified, and Barb got so excited. I can use this tonight and show this.
She was just like, oh, this is great. great. So
I'm a sick.
We have all kinds of things in our office, and we're all like, okay, Barb, it's a bug.
And Barb is also known as the bug lady.
Yes, I do have bugs. So, yes, I actually have two bug samples. I'm very excited to have. So we do that. That's part of it. Other kinds of consumer or homeowner programs that we do, the Master Gardeners and I do a very large multi-session day-long spring gardening class in March, and we have over 300 people that come to that, and they can choose and pick different types of gardening class information things for them. I also write a weekly article for the Kenosha News. If you haven't seen that, that's right in there. New for the news, they asked me to start doing a little webcast, a video webcast, that links every month to an article I'm doing on vegetable gardening. You're smiling. Have you seen it? Well, let's say they're still learning. But so we're teaching just short little videos on vegetable gardening. I also write two times a year for Prime Magazine for the Kenosha News, too. Do a variety of gardening presentations out and around. Yesterday, last night, I was at the community library in Salem doing a gardening presentation. And then also give both direct and through Master Gardeners educational support to all sorts of community groups as they try to do gardening things. So that's kind of a quick overview of everything I do. Yes?
Perhaps we do this, I'm not certain. Do we have a Master Gardener Appreciation Day?
We do in December, we do a recognition, and they have monthly meetings. The Master Gardeners have monthly meetings. And we do give them their certificates when they become a Master Gardener, because they have to, by the way, they have to donate a minimum of 24 hours of volunteer time every year and get 10 hours of continuing education in order to be a Master Gardener volunteer. So we do that, but I think it would be wonderful if we would like to recognize them even more so.
Madam Chair, can I leave that up to your discretion as to how you choose to do that?
Sure.
Or I would also
need one suggestion.
Sure. We'll take your suggestion.
Okay. And I'd also be very happy to invite you to their December meeting, too. So.
As long as it doesn't fall on the first or third Tuesday of the month.
Well, I think, no, it's their Monday night meetings. So.
Oh, who's got
yes.
Monday? You've got Monday.
By the way, their meetings are open to the public, so if there's a gardening question you want to do, you're welcome to come to those two.
You're sliding in at the last minute. You're sliding in at the last minute?
Yeah, I've got a Wisconsin State Fair sign-up is going on tonight, so I'm out in the lobby signing up kids for State Fair. So
she's trying to get in two places at once.
Yes.
Go give her a good time to come in.
Okay, we'll finish up Barb real quick then.
We're scheduling ourselves so tight.
I hear about the ash borer.
Yes.
Is that a problem now in Kenosha?
Ash borer has shown up for 2 years in traps in Kenosha County. It's right near Highway 50 and Green Bay Road. The interesting thing is they've only found the adult borers. They have not found any infested trees. But we do know northern Racine County, Franklin, right, Oak Park, they do have them, but we haven't found infested trees here. But we're in a quarantine area now.
What about the tent caterpillar? I haven't seen that. You know, you used to go see them all the time.
You know what? My bug sample is a tent caterpillar.
They're here.
They are here.
What did you say?
The eastern tent caterpillar is a native insect. Oh. We will never get rid of them, but their populations tend to go up and down, which is pretty typical.
Yeah, but you used to see them.
Well,
to see them all the time.
You've just been lucky. I've been around the state for different meetings and teaching. And someplace I just saw where it was just loaded with tent caterpillars. So it varies.
Has the weird winter we had, did that affect people's landscaping that you've noticed or anything like that?
It did. We had a lot of evergreens that had a lot of winter damage to them. So that's why you see a lot of the pines and the spruces that are really brown. We got a lot of our calls in May related to that. I'm really concerned about going from that really cold, wet May to this very hot temperature. So weather has been really interesting, and it definitely impacts the gardening in plants. I mean, sometimes it's weeks.
Did you have another question? Any other questions from the supervisors?
I just want to say something. Like, with the new school, like, in each other from London and stuff, we've been wanting to start, like, National Honor Society and the student government, and we want to start, like, an environmentalist club, mm-hmm. so we can start making it actually look nice outside.
Sure.
Outside the school, so if the master directors would love to give us some information.
Contact me.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carl.
Okay.
I'm Bethany Kinsella. I'm the coordinator program assistant. Obviously, tonight, to place the ones, I'm holding the Wisconsin State Fair sign up. It gives the kids that are 12 years and older that want to exhibit their animals, their projects and stuff that have been selected from last year's fair for the main stable projects. The animals are obviously new when they're getting ready for fair and things. So that sign up is tonight. That's due June 29th. So far, I've had 6 kids sign up, and usually we send about 15 up to State Fair. The other things I've been working on lately is the Wisconsin 4-H camp for Racine and Kenosha County, the dual camp. We have 50 campers going to Upper Woods for the last part of June, 24th, 25th, and 26th. So we have 50 campers, which is 3rd through 5th grade. Our counselors are high schoolers that run the program. They teach archery, they go canoeing, they get to go swimming, teach arts and crafts, all that fun stuff. And there is 11 of those. 4 of them are the main directors teaching that, and then 7 are just being the counselors leading the groups of kids around for that 3 days that we're out there. The other thing that is just finishing up is the after-school ambassador program, which is a cooperation with 21st Century CLC program, Kenosha Unified School District, and the UW Extension. We were working with Jefferson Elementary School and Harborside Academy, where freshmen and sophomores and juniors were taking a class on leadership. We partnered with them and got them into Jefferson Elementary. And so they have 39 students, they put in 312 hours. Service for 3 to 5 for the last 5 months.
Okay. Thanks, Beth. Are there any questions for her? For each program? It's usually the biggest one. No? Okay.
Turkey support. This last month in May, John DeMottmullen, the youth and family educator, and I was invited by the Department of Human Services and their economic support unit to provide some professional development. And so their whole focus was customer service. So they broke it up into 3 components. One was team building and getting better interaction among their colleagues in their economic support unit. So John took that piece of it. I taught a presentation on engaging generations in the workplace, a whole aspect of what it's like to work when there could be as many as 4 different generations in the same unit at the same time. And that, just by the way, is the first time in our country we've ever had that wide span of different generational differences. So we spent a lot of time talking about what that means. Their afternoon session then was 2 other individuals from their internal sites talking about customer service. So we did the presentations 4 times here at the Kenosha County Center for probably almost over 100 individuals, probably about 125 individuals. So I share that as an example of how we are a resource and hope to be an educational component or support for other county departments in serving that capacity. So we welcome that opportunity. Last month, we graduated 13 participants from our Leadership Kenosha program, and I gave you our latest business card, which is our new marketing tool. We're getting smarter about people not wanting more pieces of paper or brochures or forms. They're like, oh, how about a business card? Because that fits in your hand easy and more likely to stick it in a pocket somewhere and hang on to it. We're in the process of recruiting right now for the next program year, which begins in September. It runs September through May. Anyone and every adult is eligible or who is interested is able to participate. It is an application process. There is a tuition. We're actually in collaboration with the Chamber of Commerce for this program. If you're a chamber member, the cost of the program is $975. Non-chamber members, it's $1,025. So give a bit of a discount to the Kenosha chamber members. The program builds on leadership skills. It's also an opportunity to experience the different aspects of Kenosha County through government law enforcement, nonprofits, emergency management, judiciary and law, government day, education, all the months. And we literally visit locations around the communities, Kenosha County included, where they have a chance to experience and try on, if you will, what happens in those settings. And one of the benefits participants tell us is it's the first time, and they've lived in Kenosha all their life in some cases, that they ever stepped inside the courthouse or the correctional facility, or the first time they ever walked into a nonprofit organization or the school. So they live in their own worlds and they don't get a chance to experience the breadth and depth of what Kenosha has to offer. So we really expand their knowledge and interest in the value of what Kenosha County provides. So if you're interested in the program, I encourage you to go online and apply or pass along. I've got more business cards I can give you to help us recruit participants. That would be awesome as well. The other item I have to share with you is some big news. Annie Jones, as some of you do know and have known Annie, is our community development educator in Kenosha County, and for the last approximately 3 years, her time has been bought out in increasing increments. I think it started out at 50% and then it went to 75% for a statewide assignment working through our strategic planning process. I've been notified now that they will now be buying her out 100%. So we'll have a bit of a vacancy here in our community development area. And as a team, as an office team, we'll be reviewing that very shortly and making some decisions on how to proceed with that vacancy.
I'm not sure how you find that good news for us, though.
It's good news.
To lose her?
Yeah, it is.
That's going
to
be difficult.
Bad news to lose Annie, but good news for Annie.
Right.
I should have said good news. I should have said big news.
Big news. Bad news.
And quickly, I'll cover the last item so you can convene your second part of your meeting here. I wanted to just make you all aware of the Dean's Cooperative Extension Resource Advocacy Network, known as RAN. Chairman Bruning is a member of that, as are approximately about 10 other individuals in Kenosha. And it's really with their collective efforts that have helped communicate to our state legislators regarding the state budget that most of you now are aware that Joint Finance did pass the what looks more like the Badger New Wisconsin Partnership versus the Badger Partnership. So the UW system will stay intact. And for us in Extension, that's extremely good news. So I want to thank all of you supervisors who put forward the resolution on behalf of the support of the Wisconsin Idea Partnership. We benefit from that in many, many ways. So thank you for your support.
I have a question about your leadership, Kenosha. Did they do a fundraiser this past year?
They did not.
They did not. They need to get back to that. I like the daffodil days. That was nice.
Yeah. That was one of their team projects.
Right.
A team project did that. Yeah, they didn't do that. They had three team projects, but none of them were fundraisers.
Okay. Any questions for Teddy? Supervisor Hellman.
How was Iowa?
The conference I went to was actually excellent. I came back with, I was just sharing with Amy some of these great things I learned about food deserts and some food system pieces in St. Louis. So it was a really, what becomes a great experience for me to get knowledge of what other extension offices are doing with partners across the country in urban settings. I come back so full of ideas that honestly it overwhelms me to the point where I think, how can we borrow some of these great ideas and do some of this great stuff here? It was very, very good. I didn't think of Des Moines as being an urban mecca, that, but they turned my mind around, okay? For them, it was urban.
Cool. Any other questions? Okay. We're going to adjourn the Extension Education Committee program, and we will be starting with planning and development in just a couple minutes. If anyone needs to take a break real quick, now would be the time to do it.
What?
If you need to take a break, now would be the time to do it. Okay.
voice vote or roll call vote on item number 5. Do you want to call it? I'll get the sheet. I forgot to leave the name sheet up. Roll call.
Hey, John. Cheers on the Titanic.
Yeah, well. Somebody wanted that.
Well, we didn't pull him up hard enough to.
I know.
Just because we didn't think that we needed him with Teddy and her group here. I'll get the pile going here.
Okay?
Okay.
I watched that 2 minutes ago. April, you want to check and see about Comair on your list?
Good evening. We're going to call the Planning and Development Committee to order. All supervisors are present, except for Supervisor Kohlmeyer, who is excused tonight. We have 2 youth and governance present with us tonight, Trina and Heather. We'll go ahead and start our meeting. First on the agenda is our public hearing on proposed comprehensive plan amendment.
I'll take that. Is yours amplifying?
Shane, is your mic working?
I don't think your mic's is the light on. Yeah? Well, we can share this. It didn't sound very loud here. Captain was. Oh, okay. Didn't sound very loud.
No.
Okay, item number 5 on the agenda is a public hearing on a proposed comprehensive plan amendment. This was published on May 6th to fulfill the month notice prior for a comprehensive plan amendment proposed change. This is Action 50 LLC, 420 West. Wesley Road, Lake Forest, Illinois, 60045, owner Mark Merkling, 5909 392nd Avenue, Burlington, Wisconsin, 53105, agent, requests an amendment to the adopted land use plan map for Kenosha County, 2035, which is map 65 of the comprehensive plan, from commercial and suburban density residential to commercial district on tax parcel 95-4-219-323-0305. And Mr. Bueller will give you the exact location.
This property is located on the northeast corner of State Front Highway 15 to 392nd Avenue. You can see it. The property is actually rather than the outlined purple area. Only the outlined purple area is where the action is being asked to be taken.
Is there anyone representing Action 50? State your name and address for the record.
Yes, I'm Mark Merkling. The address at the new store is 5675 392nd Avenue. That's actually this parcel that we're talking about.
And what are you looking for tonight, Mark?
Well, we want to change the long-term plan to from residential to commercial, and then we're hoping to be able to take a commercial strip down to the highway so that we can put a business sign out up by Highway 50.
Are there any questions by the committee? Youth and governance? Anyone to speak in favor of this petition? Anyone to speak in favor? Is there anyone against this petition? Anyone against? From the town?
The town recommended at the May 2nd, 2011 meeting. That was the town of Wheatland.
Unanimous vote.
And
Wheatland doesn't generally provide.
They didn't say that here. Yeah, they just said proposed or favorable recommendation.
Okay, this one requires a roll call vote. If there are no other questions, I will.
I make a motion to approve the proposed comprehensive plan amendment.
Okay, I have a first by Supervisor Decker, second by Supervisor Hallman. And I will start with our youth and governance. How do you vote? Yes.
Aye.
Supervisor Hallman?
Aye.
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 And the chair votes aye.
Okay. I think you should call their name and do the votes.
Do them?
Yeah, I think just okay. That would be a formal. Our secretary here, April, I think you have to call.
Do you want them called?
You have to call the names as a formal vote.
I don't have to. I give the list to the chairman.
Okay, but I mean,
you just want me to call.
I think we should for the tape.
For the tape.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, Chairwoman Kimberly Bruning.
Aye.
Supervisor Esposito.
Aye.
Supervisor Kohlmeier is excused. Supervisor Underhill.
Yes.
Supervisor Decker.
Yes.
Supervisor Hallman.
Aye.
Supervisor Gable.
Yes.
And Youth and Governance.
Aye.
Thank you.
Motion passes 7-0.
Thank you. Okay, you can remain seated. This action then allows for, as long as the comp plan has proposed to be changed, would allow a rezoning to be considered, and that's what we have before us on the next item on the agenda. Action 50 LLC for 20 West Westlake Road, Lake Forest, Illinois, 60045. Owner, Mark Merkling, 5909 392nd Avenue, Burlington, Wisconsin, 53105. Agent, request a rezoning to reconfigure the B3 Highway Business District and A2 General Agricultural District on tax parcel 95-4-219-323-03-05. And Mr. Bueller will give you the exact location. We'll be concentrating on that purple strip that's on the map there.
Right, once again, we're in the northeast corner of State Road Highway 15, 392nd Avenue, and the parcel is outlined in purple, and just the area that is the strip is being requested to be rezoned for the purpose of the sign.
Does anyone have any questions regarding this? No?
If you recall, this is a new business that was before the committee several months ago. I think those that were new to the committee may not be aware of that, but we did approve this business several months ago. And now they're now asking for a sign to be on Highway 50. And the property needs to be zoned commercial for the signage. So that's the procedure that brings us to this decision.
Is there anyone to speak in favor of this? Anyone to speak in favor? Anyone to speak against the petition? Anyone against? From the town?
And the town recommend approval at the May 2nd, also 2011.
This one requires.
I might be.
This one doesn't. This doesn't require a vote.
No, this would be a regular voice vote. Well, it's fine. It's just the voice is stipulated in the state statutes on comprehensive plan changes.
Okay. Any questions? Do I have a motion?
I make a motion to approve the rezoning from agriculture to business.
I have a first by Supervisor Decker, second by Supervisor Hallman. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Using governance? Chair votes aye.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, everybody.
Good luck.
Have a great night.
And just as a housekeeping, then we have two actions here, but actually you'll be signing three documents. So make sure that you have signed all three. The state requires for a comp plan change, a resolution, and an ordinance. So those go with item number 5, and then there's an ordinance that goes to item number 6 for the rezoning. So you should have three items for your signature regarding that particular two items. Next item would be Shadow Hill Ranch, LLC, 40937 West Rattlesnake Road, Queens Creek, Arizona, 85242 Russell Brothers, LLC, 11909 Richmond Road, Twin Lakes, Wisconsin, 53181-9752, owners requesting a conditional use permit to allow item one, Will Rock the Ranch, proposed for 8/13/2011, a one-day all-ages rock music event with two stages and food and retail vendors. Item two, Warrior Dash, to be held on September 17th and 18th, 2011, a two-day event featuring foot races and four rock bands, a DJ playing music, and food and retail vendors. Item number three, Seventh Circle Haunt, which will be held on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays from the 1st of October through the 23rd of October 2011, and daily from October 27th through the 31st. A haunted house and forest with food concessions. Activities to take place on the following parcels. Mr. Bueller will give you the exact location. Well, actually, I should give you the parcels. 60-4-119-304-0405, which is Shadow Hill Ranch, and part of 60-4-119-311-0200, which is the Russell Farm. And these are located in the southeast and southwest quarter of Section 30 and 31, the town of Randall. Mr. Bueller, give you the exact location.
The area that you can see is about Lincoln Purple, which basically is south of 110th Street, which is also Kern Trunk Highway O. It's bound on the east by Virginia Road, which is Kern Trunk Highway P, and it's north of Esch Road. And again, it's all Lincoln Purple.
And we have representation. Do you enjoy to step forward?
Please state your name and address for the record.
Honorable board members, my name is Harry Luge. I reside at 40937 North Rattlesnake Road in Santan Valley, Arizona.
My name is Richard Bach. I live at 2305 Lance Drive in Twin Lakes, Randall.
And could you tell the board why you're here tonight?
Pardon me?
Could you tell the board why you're here tonight? What are you looking for?
Well, I think Debbie worked a long time on this presentation. I think it's 40 or 50 pages. So instead of dissecting the whole presentation.
No, just an overall summary.
Overall summary is we are looking for a Will Rock concert. It's a radio station here in Kenosha, and it's a one-day event. I think it's going to be super. This is their first concert here, I think, in Kenosha County. And then the Warrior Dash is September 17 and 18. It's a 5K run with 12 obstacles. People sign, and they take off in groups of 300 to 500. They run 3 miles or 3.8 miles or 12 obstacles, and it's just a fun day. Harry just had one in Arizona, so I never seen one. He can explain more about the Warrior Dash.
As my wife would say, anyone who would want to run through mud, climb over all kinds of obstacles and bales of hay and straw, and think that is fun, you have to be young. And there were 9,460 participants in Arizona that did the exact same off the course and same type of event. It's a family event. The event's held on a Saturday and a Sunday. There is no camping, and it was probably one of the most fun events that I have ever put on. And they have different divisions where you dress up. We had some of the bank ladies competing against each other that dressed up in bunny rabbit outfits, and you name it. It's a fun event, and it's something I'm looking really forward to, and I think the community would be very excited on what positive response this event will have. So, one in Arizona, they figure for next year we already have over 5,000 pre-entries. For next year, we think we'll get 15,000. We think this one in Twin Lakes will be one of the largest in the United States, and they have 31 states that they're in now.
And then the last event is the Haunted Forest, and our neighbors who live next to Country Thunder are running that in the fall, and it's just the Haunted Forest, and it's all for kids, so I don't see too many adults walking through there, and that's about it. I mean, it's all in the presentation.
Harry, did you have any, were there any injuries in the one from Arizona?
Yes, ma'am. Twisted ankles, and that's the reason why we, and as you can see here, we have EMTs, we have people who, you know, when they, especially the guys, they like to show off, and they would jump into the mud, and when they jump into the mud, the belly flops, some of them would have to be pulled out. We didn't have another problem with the ladies, but yes, we did have no major injuries, just people who were having fun and a few sprained ankles, but as far as major injuries, no.
Okay. Any questions from the... Any questions from the supervisors?
Yeah, it's not working.
Supervisor Underhill.
On the Will Rock, the ranch... thing, how many bands are you expecting to have, or have you already booked them, and how many bands are you expecting?
They're going to probably have approximately 20, 25 bands during the complete event.
For one day?
Yes, sir.
From what time to what time?
12 o'clock, is the same?
I think 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock is when they'll start. And
stage two. We have a main stage and a side stage.
There's two stages, so when one stage is going, well, then the other stage gets ready, so that then you can make a switch. It's called stage A, bigger one or two. And then that way you don't have a lot of downtime. You keep the movement going, and so it makes for a very good, entertaining event.
Who are they using for security? Are we using the Sheriff's Department?
The Kenosha. County Sheriff's Department, and then
kind of like Country Thunder. Kind of like Country Thunder.
Yes, sir. You could say it is a Country Thunder with one day and no camping.
Food vendors and all.
Food vendors. You'll have trade people showing their goods. It's a pretty much a duplicate of Country Thunder, but one day with no camping.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Supervisor Esposito.
Yeah, Harry, I got a question in regards to this Warrior Dash. I see the timing here from 7 a.m. to 2 a.m. and from 7 a.m. to 12 a.m. So this runs all day long into the night and 2 a.m.
No, not into the night.
Well, I'm thinking 7 a.m. to 2 a.m. Is that 2 p.m.?
That must be an error.
We didn't know when Debbie typed the presentation because we have a 2 o'clock license.
Okay. But
then later on we talked to Harry, and he said by 7 o'clock the place is empty in the evening.
Okay.
So
What they do is they call waits. Before I ever got involved with an event like this, I thought it was start times, but this is an all-new type of event for me. And they call waves. And they'd start off with 500 in each wave. And so what they do, they'll talk to them right there at the start and say, you know, the more serious runners, they would let them come up to the front. Because most of the people and the families who are running for fun. It's not competitive. But you get a few people that wanted to break a record. They wanted to do the course and under 24 minutes. So they let them in the front. So they let a wave of 500 start. And it spread out because the first mile, mile and a half, you don't have obstacles. They spread out. Now they get to the obstacles, they'll go over the, you know, the monkey bars and various hay bales and things. And then toward the end, excitement is they have to go through a mud pit, and the mud pit is only a foot and a half deep. It's not deep. But the start of the mud pit, you have to make 2.5 feet deep because these guys are belly flopping into the mud. So to prevent anyone from getting hurt, we would build this 2.5 foot, about 10 feet out. And it prevents anyone from getting hurt. Of course, you have to keep that mud going. We used 6 truckloads of dirt that was real fine dirt screened. And then we had the water trucks watering it. And so they would go through this mud pit and crawl and to the finish line. And then, of course, they would get their pictures taken with the Warrior Dash background to put on the website and all this kind of stuff. Because if you go to the website, you'll see that these events were absolutely unbelievable. We had over 10,000 spectators just come to watch and have fun. And the entry's free. So that bring their families. It's a family fun type of event. And then we have, at the finish, you go off to the Warsaw area, and we had the fire department, the Rural Metro Fire Department. We had a couple fire trucks with the hoses washing off the mud. And that was a fun event, because you can imagine some of the outfits that some of these people were wearing. It's a fun, crazy event. But then we washed them off, and then, of course, the mud was probably a foot and a half thick when the event was over that we had to move. So it's a very, very interesting fun event.
Harry, I appreciate your synopsis, but my question to you is, looking at this, you know, I understand what you're telling me. This is not a night event, correct?
It is not a night event. Okay. That is correct.
That's what I wanted to know. Thank you.
Yeah. So on Saturday, it'll go from probably 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.?
Before dark, yes. It ends before 7.
And then on Sunday, it's showing it goes from 7 a.m. to noon. But I'm going to guess that that's incorrect.
Noon, unless the entries are more than that, it'll move to maybe 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
But it's short, usually short in. At the rate it's going right now, it will probably go to 4 or 5 o'clock.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Youth and governance?
You said the entry is free. Is participating like in the actual run, is that also free? Or is
no.
That
the participants pay a fee, but all spectators are free.
Any other questions?
You're comfortable with your conditions?
Yes, sir.
Is there anyone to speak in favor of this? Anyone in favor? Anyone to speak against this petition? Anyone against? From the town?
Town of Rando said they approved the request at their meeting the week. This is dated June 3rd, and it said the week prior, so I'm believe that their meeting is on Thursday, May 26th, but it didn't state that. It's at the prior week.
Okay. All right.
I make a motion to approve the conditional use permit
Second.
For Shadow Hill Ranch for Will Rock the Ranch, the Warrior Dash, and the Seventh Circle Haunt.
Second.
I have a first by Supervisor Decker and a second by Supervisor Underhill. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye.
Thank you. I hope to see you in the run.
No, sorry. I'm not in that good of shape.
You don't want to see me.
You got a pie eating contest?
Yeah. Pie eating contest, I'm good at.
No certified surveys.
Blueberry Hill.
Approval of minutes. This goes to April 26th of the Extension Education Committee.
April 6th.
I'm sorry, April 6th. We need a motion and second on.
I need a motion for the April 6th Extension Education Committee meeting.
Motion to approve the Extension Committee meeting minutes of April 6th, 2011.
I have a first by Supervisor Holman.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Goble. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Meeting minutes for May 11th for Planning, Development, and Extension Education Committee.
Motion to approve the meeting minutes of May 11th, 2011, Planning, Development, and Extension Education Committee.
Second.
First by Supervisor Holman, second by Supervisor Esposito. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Minutes are approved. Citizen comments?
We'll take any of the business. We'll take any of the other business.
Okay. And any other business allowed by law?
Yes. The committee in the past had asked Mr. Astute to come before the committee to give an update on his project. Mr. Gill will give you a little bit more detail before he gets his presentation. If you want to just bring him up to speed.
Okay, right. The committee had allowed our department to send out a couple letters to Mr. Astute because there was concerns in regards to the gas station that was started on Sheridan Road in the town of Summers, and then it has not proceeded along after the walls went up. And there was some concern by the committee, our department, the town, and some other members of the county board. And so we were trying to get in contact with them to try to find out exactly what the status is, what the timing is on being able to complete the project. And Mr. Astute is here tonight to be able to explain what's been or what's happened with this process over the last several months or a year, and then be able to explain where things are going to be going.
So just give us your name and the address, then you can proceed.
We have a dock 4630 15th Street, Summers, Livingston, Summers.
Okay.
We have been in development since 1993. I can tell you one thing, that we wake up every day and we see how hard it is in the economy in the whole country, whether governmental or in the private sector. We started this project with a bank approved for financing. At the same time, we have approximately five projects with the same bank. That bank was working with commercial lending out of Milwaukee, and they closed the doors. Thank God the other projects were done. We're still having a hard time getting funded for the other projects back to us. So but here and there, this project started about 2 years ago, you know. And we put the walls up, we graded around the site with most of the underground. We did not put no tanks in the ground yet. And we made a phone call to the bank last week, and he updated that they're working with a different business, commercial lending. It's dry, I can tell you that much. But we're facing, developers facing a lot of hard time, you know, getting the end financing or financing construction financing. But the property is up to date, paying taxes, everything is up to date, we pay our payments. We're just having a hard time getting the loans for completing the project.
So that's not been concluded yet, the financial arrangements?
Nope. And he talked to the bank last week and he told him that he's working with a different business commercial to fund the remaining of the project. So as of now, we do not have a bank approving the remaining yet. The local banks here, most of them are out of business, probably. You know, where we see it every day. Everybody, all of us here in this room, probably wake up this in the morning thinking, what's next? Who has a job? Who doesn't? Municipalities under pressure, private sector under pressure, governor under pressure. Everybody is.
So well, we asked that you keep the office appraised of the activity and the financial arrangements on this project. I mean, when we do send a letter, we would like a response, and I think we can consider in a reasonable time frame for the arrangements that you worked out, but if that time period passes, we may have to call you back again if we've not heard anything from you, because this cannot go indefinitely. So
we still make our payments to the bank too. So you know, every day that project sets still costs us money. So we're not behind on anything on that project. It's just a matter of we have to find the underground financing and the end financing. You know, so there's two things in the puzzle.
Well, we appreciate you coming forward this evening to give us an update, and we were concerned that we're not hearing. Again, communicate with our office, and we'll keep the board appraised of your progress, and hopefully that will be shortly.
And I think that's kind of evident, from my understanding, is that by about mid-June, there should be some more information that you may have to see exactly where things are going to be going.
And, be right. And I talked to several banks the last 2-3 years. Most of them are just words, so there's no facts. You go to apply. This project probably would have took probably 30 days approvals 4 or 5 years ago, or you know, 3-4 years ago. Today, there's no promise. And any banks, anybody tells you that it's going to take 30 days, you know, here, I'd like to see it. But again, saying that it's a fact, people we financed 3 years ago, just to take us 60 days to get everything done, financed, wrapped up completely today. We're dealing with some customers almost 9 months, and there's no nothing. There is no money in a commercial. So if you want to put me in, you know, to say, I will update you, I'd like to. Just remember, every day that project is sitting there, costs us money.
Right, I guess I was saying that because then we need them, that he would be able to possibly provide us some update of where things are at by the end of the month of June.
Call me anytime, I'll be here to tell you, David.
Because the one thing that we do all know is that the zoning permit has expired.
Correct.
And it would need to be moved in, and the building permit will expire in October.
Correct. Correct.
So do we need to move forward on renewing the zoning permit? I would put.
Once he's ready to move forward, the zoning permit will need to be renewed.
Okay, so we've got to get that financial commitment first?
Correct.
Okay. As simple as appraisals today, you know. Just to come certified in the commercial market right now. Simple as appraisal. Used to take, let's say, 8 weeks appraisals. In this area, there's not many appraisals certified to appraise commercial properties anymore. Just as simple as appraisal. That's how hard it is in the commercial side. So we're not out of it. Working hard on it every day. We have several projects going on. We're still committed to make it right. So.
Okay, again, we appreciate you coming in and being able to express how things are going with the committee.
Supervisor Hallman, you had a question?
More a comment, Madam Chair. I do want the gentleman to know that there are members of this committee who do understand that the commercial lending market has tightened up considerably. I had a meeting a couple months ago with some bank vice presidents, some that were local and regional, and they expressed to me that some of them might have been a little too heavy in the commercial real estate market. So we do understand, some of us on this committee, the constraints that you're facing. So I certainly appreciate, members of this committee appreciate the fact that you've taken the time today to come here and tell us a little bit in detail about just exactly how it is you're being affected. The only thing I can say is to continue to come to us and update us on that progress, as our staff has just told you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else from the committee?
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. No? Okay. That's it. Thank you.
Have a nice evening.
You too.
Thank
you.
Thank you. Okay.
Motion to adjourn.
So moved. Thank you. I have a first by Supervisor Esposito and a second by Supervisor Goble. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
We're adjourned. Thank you. What? Then you should have made the second.